Out. Woo. Well, is that working? Doubts encasing our world. Have you noticed it? You know? Doubt my neighbor. Doubt the government. I can even doubt my religion, and I certainly doubt myself at times. I pause and I ask you to close your eyes and rummage in your heart to find a doubt that you bear at this moment. What is it that's holding you? Does everyone have one?
No doubt.
No doubt. So here's the question. Is this a good doubt or something that's pulling you apart? So hold that doubt and we'll come back to it a bit later. My doubt? Well, if you look at the photo on the front of our bulletin, you'll see a globe, and it's an internet of glass tendrils. The globe is being held together by these very tender strings. I took the photo because it moved me to see the fragility of this glass globe. And it reminds me of the fragility of our own Earth, our island home. And what amazed me in the museum is this globe was sitting there and anybody could have knocked it over. A child, I could have, it could have rolled, it could, an earthquake, boom, and it would have broken. I am worried about our Earth and our environment. My oldest friend and I recently talked, and she was upset. She had finished reading a book that doubted that our Earth or humanity had a future. And the book questioned whether we have passed the tipping point in saving our environment from fatal disaster. She asked me if I thought this was true. I'm always truthful with this friend. We've known each other since we were 18, and that's a long time ago. And I paused, and I said, Martha, I think it may be so. I think we may have passed the tipping point. And then I said, if possible, if we band each one of us together like those tendrils of glass, we may pull this one off. But folks, I don't know. I don't know. Now that is a doubt of all doubts, isn't it? So what about this Easter reading? I don't believe that the gospel is talking about, do you believe this or do you believe that? But rather, it's something much deeper. We are a tactile religion. And I don't know about you, but during the pandemic, I lived by myself, and it was just a hard time not to touch. Not to hold on. Is Christ resurrected in our world because of the wounds that we hold and the doubts that eat around our edges? The gospel says yes, and that we need to walk where? Into our doubt. Not walk around it, walk into our doubt. Thomas the doubter, or as in the Eastern tradition states, Thomas the Believer, now that's a twist, isn't it? The Believer is the story to illustrate that doubt may indeed be a virtue. It may push us to action, it may engage us in communal bonding and response. So let's look at the gospel story. Why was Thomas away while the others were in hiding? This is my imagination. You'll have different scenes, but the gospel doesn't tell us. Well, perhaps Thomas was so broken that he separated himself from the community that was afraid and was simply holding on, and the community was hiding. Perhaps he just wanted to be away from the men who betrayed Jesus, and remember, he was one of them, or at least did not help Jesus. Who would want to hang out with them, hiding away, isolated and in pain, afraid of a whipping from the Romans? So where was Thomas? What if Thomas was with the women? They were out doing what? They were acting, they were out searching for the body of Jesus. Thomas might have been with them, walking the walk. And perhaps he decided to go back to the disciples to help them get out of their stupor, their hunkering down behind a closed door. And in his wildest imagination, could he believe that this group of frozen, hapless men would have found Jesus in their terror and in their hiding? Would you believe the disciples? Remember, they were not engaging with anyone. Would you believe them if they told you, "We have seen the Lord"? In this room? Really? In this morning's gospel, Thomas pops in at the magical moment when all except him have felt in community the risen Christ. Christ has come to them when Thomas was not there. So Thomas is like, huh, what? Oh, come back to reality, folks. Thomas needs more than words of these men. Doubt is his way of sustaining reality. His grief is enough, and he's warding off delusion. He's warding off despair of ever again tasting the love of Jesus and the ties of relationship to this beloved community of his. Thomas needs action, not words. And here is the beauty of this passage. Jesus comes twice to his disciples, and this is his second appearance, and Thomas is there. I believe that Jesus comes back just for Thomas. Jesus, as I read the story, comes back because Thomas is trying to work through his doubt and his isolation. And in that moment, he stands as one fragile human, confused and in grief. In deep grief. And he does not know where to turn, what to do, and what to believe. Have you ever been there? We all have, haven't we? And the response of Jesus, "Thomas, touch me. Touch me." Jesus is giving a second chance to the one who was away from the community, who lives in pain and lives in doubt. "Thomas, put your hands into my side, feel my wounds. Don't use the word think. Feel. Feel my wounds." Wounds, as we all know, stay with us forever. We can't hide them with makeup or simply erase them. We can't pray them away, and I bet all of us in this room have tried. They're part of our flesh and bone, part of our heart, and part of our psyche. They are, as we mature, I believe, wounds are our wisdom. We learn from our wounds if we let the wounds teach us. But I ask you, we all have a wound in this room. If we didn't, we would be sitting here, wouldn't we? I ask you, if you could give that wound away, would you? Would you give it away? Jesus did not give his away. We have this beautiful story of the resurrected body, and what is Jesus holding? His wounds. He doesn't come back in perfection. He shows wounds. And why does he do this? I think he is trying to heal his dear friend Thomas. If he comes back with no wounds, Thomas is there with this gaping wound himself, and there's this beauty, this reciprocity of Jesus standing there wounded also. And it is in the touching of Jesus' wounds that belief takes place in Thomas. Doubt is what moved Thomas toward the risen Christ. He, like many of us, yearns for that experience of knowing, even if it is for a moment, that moment when we can say, Christ is risen. And that moment can sustain us for our lifetime. And I think the problem is with us sometimes that we want that moment to be forever, always, everything that we do. And we don't live that way. Doubt creeps back in. At least it does for me. I don't know about you. And I have to, again, go back to that moment where I knew that I had seen and touched the risen Christ. The risen Christ, I believe, is in everything. And we need but pause, see, and touch. The risen Christ is our yearning, our doubt, and our anxiety. I read an article in Audubon magazine by Rick Bass titled The Heart of the Forest. It's about a trip to Ellerslie Lake in British Columbia. And there was a group of writers, biologists, and students who came together. They went to the lake to conduct a biological survey in hope of saving the forest, the largest remaining temperate rainforest. Why did they go there? Because the timber companies were coming in. And these scientists had doubts that they could save it. There was clear cutting, although most of it was hidden, that plunged all the way down to the river, through the water. Now, the article, I felt, had a mixture of apathy and hope. The author speaks of the timber companies coming, promising gifts and jobs. But when the trees are gone, they leave. I see this when I come over from Port Townsend. You know, there's a whole part, and I just want to say, where did the trees go? Where'd they go? The whole thing about this article is that the timber companies are driven by shareholders and not spirit. And the author writes, we are losing our places of spirit. We are losing our spirits. We are having them taken from us. We are standing by quietly as it happens, like deer pushed down by high snows to the water's edge. But then at the end, after having spent days at the lake, he speaks with a very different voice, and he writes, I feel, as I have rarely felt before, that the earth has paused. It's been so long since I felt this way that at first I do not even recognize what the name of the feeling is, only the deep and surprising quality of it. And instead of trying to name it, I just stand there and try to savor it, to figure out how to hold that peace that is in my heart. Remember in the gospel, see, Jesus comes in and says, what? I give you peace. The author says, I try to take that peace with me if I can. It is not until later that I realize what the name for the feeling was. It was the feeling of having a second chance, being given a second chance. That sounds like Thomas in the gospel this morning. This is his second chance, and it galvanizes him and gives him peace. His words tumble out, "My Lord and my God." The effect was life-changing. It was through Thomas's doubt that he encountered the living Christ. Rick Bass holds a numbing anxiety, too, that his efforts may be too little, too late for our planet Earth. It's easy to doubt that we can influence anything. Yet, Rick Bass was changed, got a second chance at a wondrous lake, and Thomas got a second chance with his encounter with Jesus. What gives each of us a second chance? Thomas opened his heart to the touch of Christ. We are invited to do the same. We are invited to bring our doubts into the open. A doubt that just keeps our inside, it makes us what? Ill. We are invited to bring our doubts to community. And we may never find all the answers. In fact, I'm pretty sure we will not. And the only way to meet Jesus is to experience him. The only way to save our world is to engage with it, to touch it, to be changed by it. I asked you to open yourself to a doubt that you are living with. Can you see it as a strength? A strength. A call from God to engage with this doubt in community. And if so, what steps will you take to engage with the doubt itself? Look at it, hold it, and touch it. Perhaps this is part of your Easter journey. And I know that I myself feel powerless until I work in and with community. It seems to me that doubt is a gift to move us forward, to help us touch one another, to touch creation, to move beyond ourselves, to see the beauty of the risen Christ, to see the power of meeting the living Christ in all wounds, either of our own or of our lakes and forests or in our fellow travelers on the path. And when we speak of our doubt or show our wounds, I believe that is prayer. I don't know if our doubts get resolved and have happy endings. In fact, I'm pretty sure they all don't. But I do know that unless we look straight at them, name them, and seek out others, the risen Christ can't heal our wounds or those of our planet or its creatures. By putting our hands into Christ's wounds, we become part of the risen Christ. Resurrection resides in relationship, in throwing off isolation, of entering the world as it is and transforming it to something totally new. So I say, thanks be to God for Thomas, who gives us the faith to live into the questions. That's part of our baptismal vows, by the way. Look them up. To live into it. And to have the courage to touch the Christ even when we're in doubt. And doubt may lead to us to an Alleluia prayer. I'm going to read what we already prayed this morning. Then let us sing and celebrate the resurrection of all creation, not just human, but all creation. Alleluia.